Welcome to the second part of our podcast on equine respiratory health problems. We're delighted to be able to talk about this really fundamental healthcare issue with Dr. Emmanuel van Eyck-Westergren, who is one of Europe's leading equine veterinary experts specializing in respiratory disease. In the first part of our podcast, you explained the damage that airborne dust can do to your horse's respiratory health by limiting their ability to inhale all the oxygen they need to function properly. But you've also pointed out that this isn't just a problem for performance horses that require stamina, because it's oxygen in the blood that powers the muscles, isn't it? So respiratory problems can have just as much of an impact on horses that need muscle power for things like dressage or show jumping.
I remember when I did my veterinary studies, we were taught that horses did not require oxygen or to breathe appropriately when they were doing jumping a course. But that's completely false, because what happens is that horses do breathe when they're jumping a course, and they need to breathe because they are already very quickly deficient in oxygen. So if they don't get that extra oxygen, they're not going to be able to go over the jumps as well. So from, you know, perspective of saying, well, horses can jump a course in apnea, well, he could theoretically, but he's not going to clear it, especially if, you know, he's asked to jump on the day one and day two and day three. So on the day of the most important competition, which is usually the Sunday, that's where you've got a really tired horse that has that can't just perform to expectation.
One other point I wondered if you could please just touch on. If a horse is suffering oxygen depletion because of respiratory compromise or disease, does that lead to muscle weakening? And can that then lead on to some sort of musculoskeletal problems?
Yeah, exactly. So there was a really interesting series of studies that have been done by a group of researchers in the UK, vets that researched how horses coped in a situation where they had to, you know, jump several jumps. Like they looked at the horses jumping about 10 jumps, and then they looked at the problems that these horses had. So they looked at locomotion issues, horses with back pain. And then they looked also at the effect of respiratory problems. And they saw that what affected the horse's quality of jump the most after repeatedly jumping these 10 jumps was the fact that they'd had some form of lower airway problem. And I think that's really interesting, because that means that the muscles are not powered well enough to be able to develop as much energy and to be able to repeat the exercise over and over again. And so ultimately what happens is, when you are working with a fatigued muscle, which would be the case of a muscle with not enough oxygen, well, that muscle is not powerful enough, and that can lead to injury, because of course the horse does not have quite a movement that is as safe as it should be.
So there can be a long chain reaction, really, from dust in the stable to respiratory disease, and then ultimately to potential injury.
So sometimes the only thing that you're going to see is that your horse injured himself because, you know, he didn't absorb the shock of the jump as well as he should have. And then if you go back up the chain of events, it's actually a respiratory problem that could have triggered it in the first place.
That adds a completely new dimension to the problem, doesn't it? And how widespread do you think that respiratory disease is in all horses right now?
Well, I think it's ubiquitous. I mean, the fact that we have to house horses indoors is a huge problem. And I don't advocate that we need to put all the horses out in pasture, because some horses don't like it and some horses can't cope with that, or they injure themselves, whatever. But, you know, they have the same lungs as we do. So if you don't see yourself staying overnight in the horse's box, lying down on his bedding, if you're not going to do that because you feel that it smells or you feel that it's too dusty, well, your horse feels exactly the same thing because he's got the same lung. It is, rare to see stables that are clean, like you would have a hospital level, clean at hospital level. But we don't live in hospitals, and horses don't either. But there's, a range of quality of buildings and management practices between having a hospital environment that's completely sterile and a box that is not adequate for a horse to live in. So I think we should, in very objectively, review the things that we can improve in our horse's box. The building, do we feel that there is enough ventilation? Is the volume of the box good enough for that size of horse? Horses, when they are together in a building, you need to have a minimum surface or volume of building to be able to cope with the heat that these horses are going to produce and the humidity, because as soon as you breathe, of course, you exhale water, and that water is going to deposit in the building if there is not adequate ventilation. So looking at, opening the windows or having vents up on the roof are important elements. Then we were talking about dust as well. I think that that is something that we can really act upon. We can choose to put dust in the building or not, in our horse's box or not. The bedding is a very important part because that's where the horse is going to lie, and when he lies down, he has his nose in the bedding. So choosing a dust-free bedding to me is very important because that allows the horse to rest and have his nose in contact with something that is healthy, not something that is dusty and full of contaminants that are going to eventually irritate his airways and go down to the lungs. And then, of course, there's the forage, so the hay. It's important to try and find solutions to reduce the amount of dust in the hay as well, and the quality of the hay, and relieve it from its contaminants. So those are all things that we can do. There, I'm always fascinated when I go into a stable when they're mucking out the boxes. You've got people that use blowers, these electric blowers that create clouds of dust, and everybody's inhaling it. People are inhaling it, but the horses are as well. And because something's happening outdoors, they just stick their heads out or where that blower is and look at what's happening, and they're inhaling huge amounts of dust. So those are things that you can really act upon. The only thing is you need to realize that these are problems for your horse's airways, as well as for yours.
Yes, absolutely. We've had lots of contact from customers who suffer from asthma over the years, and they find that until they start using a dust-free bedding like our shavings, then they actually can't work in a stable at all, because people who work with horses in dusty stables are also inhaling large amounts of dust and spores, and so they're just as vulnerable to respiratory disease, aren't they?
They are. And I think that's an important point, is that you always realize what's happening when it's happening to you, and your horse is not talking. So you have to listen, find other ways of listening to your horse. One thing I find really interesting, now that we're wearing masks, I have some owners that are appalled at the state of their mask after spending a day with their horse. So they look at, they have very dirty masks on the outside because they've been inhaling through that mask and attracting whatever is in the outside air on the mask. And so they can see that there's a the mask is certainly not as clean as it should be. And sometimes when you dip it in water, you can see the water turn darker. I think that's also something that is a good way of showing people what exactly is outside in the stables of their horses.
That's a really brilliant demonstration of exactly what we're talking about here,
But
isn't it?
we're inhaling not even a liter of air. Horses are inhaling, five times as much when they're at rest and 15 times as much when they're exercising. So that you need to realize as well, is that the size is proportional. Horses are going to inhale more air and, of course, more particles when they are exposed to high levels of dust.
Yes, the problem's a lot bigger for horses, isn't it? We've been trying to tackle or help tackle the problem by producing dust-free bedding for the past 20 years. But do you think the quality of bedding is really important?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think that it does make a world of difference. The quality of bedding, for sure, but also the quality of the shavings, for several reasons. So first of all, what are the alternatives to wood shavings? Well, of course, straw is the most traditional bedding that you can find. Unfortunately, we've got global warming, whether we believe in it or not. It's not a question of that. It is a fact that we don't have periods of time where we have long periods of time where we have freezing. So the soil is more contaminated in fungi and in bacteria. And that's also a fact. You've got publications that relate to that and clearly show that that's what's been happening for the past 20 years, is an increase in the contaminants in the soil. Now, what happens is when you harvest straw, you let it dry directly in contact with the soil. And of course, that's where it's contaminating in the first place. Then you store it, and you're going to store it in a building. Sometimes it's where the horses are. So the horses are going to generate water and heat. And the best way you can get to make bacteria and fungi grow is to put them in a warm and humid environment. So the level of contamination worsens as the seasons go by until the next summer, where you have a new harvest that comes in. So throughout the year, if you want a consistent quality of bedding that is completely contaminant free, straw is certainly not a choice. So what do you have? You have wood shavings, and wood shavings are really interesting because the wood naturally contains antiseptic compounds called terpenes, and the terpenes prevent the wood from rotting because it acts against the development of bacteria and fungi. So you keep a cleaner environment because you're putting in shavings that contain naturally antiseptics. So your environment is going to be better. Now, wood shavings, the quality is not identical. If you take little scrapes of wood that come from the wood industry, but you don't have, a production that is dedicated to having large dust-free wood shavings, small wood shavings can create a lot of dust. So to me, when I have a horse with asthma or any kind of respiratory disease, that is one of the first steps before even going into the details of how we're going to treat this horse. If I don't recreate a healthy environment for the horse's airways, I am always going to struggle with the horse's respiratory health, and I'm never going to get an effective response to my treatment.
You're saying treat the cause, not the symptoms. Eliminate dust and spores because that eliminates the cause of respiratory disease.
So really, when we have horses with respiratory problems, we are not going to address core of the problem if we don't address the presence of contaminants in the horse's direct environment in the box. So to me, it is as important to recommend appropriate bedding than it is to set up a treatment protocol with medication. It is even more important because that will allow me to keep the horses healthy and happy on the long term. And clearly, beddings are not all equal. I think that we cannot rely on the quality of the straw anymore because of all the points that we've mentioned previously. It is important, in addition to the contaminants, to consider the level of dust. And so you can't just take any type of alternative bedding. You can't take, in the wood shavings, of course, the dust-free wood shavings would be your first choice, because some of those wood shavings that are not made for horses are too dusty. They start to deteriorate and create much more dust than you would expect. And then other things that we've looked at are wood pellets. The wood pellets are very dusty. The flax straw is a problem for the horse's digestive health. If they consume it, they can get colic. So I think that for me, the most reliable source of bedding would be a dust-free, high-quality wood shaving I think that we also have to consider on different levels. You know, people think that maybe horses that are pasteurized are better off on straw. Unfortunately, that's not the case because straw is a really rough source of forage. So it's not very energetic. It contains a lot of hard fibers. And so for the digestive tract, although the horse, you know, consumes it whenever he's bored, it doesn't represent a very interesting nutritional forage. So I think that you're better off putting your horse on shavings and then feeding it ad libitum some good quality hay, rather than thinking that straw is going to be a replacement for your forage. We do see a higher prevalence of ulcers in horses on straw. That's published scientifically, so it goes against the general perception that straw is good for horses with ulcers.
Emmanuel, do you think horse owners in general understand how serious the consequences of dust in the stable can be for their horse's health?
That's a really good question. I think that what I perceive in field practice is that horse owners who have horses with problems, some of them want to get a quick fix. And so they are happy to have a vet come in and give some medication and then, you know, the problem is over. But what I'm seeing, because I'm in a referral practice and I can see cases where it's not straightforward and the horses have recurrent respiratory issues and the owners are a little bit fed up with having to do treatments over and over again without having a permanent solution. And so for people who go through that process, it opens up another window looking at the horse's environment and looking at it with them, going over the different elements that can be improved and that will have a significant impact on the horse's respiratory health. So what we do in these cases is we go around the stable together and I try and help them identify the problems that are at the root of the horse's issues. So we would start with the horse's box, you know, what type of bedding your horse is on, what type of hay is he getting? Can these be sources of allergens or contaminants, pathogens that the horse is going to inhale? Because, you know, most of horses are in their boxes 23 out of 24 hours.
Yeah,
very important to ensure that what is in direct contact with them is of sufficient quality to ensure their long-term health. So when I think people are open to hearing, you know, that they need to improve the environment, I think that people who have adopted these changes don't revert back. They can see the long-term impact it has on the good term, long-term impact it has on the horse's health. And so they will see the difference it makes on the horse's, you know, symptoms, on the horse's level of stamina, on the long term, they will use less medication. And that's really a plus for everyone, horse included. For you know, race yards or larger facilities where it's sometimes a little bit more difficult to pinpoint what's going on, we do some environmental audits. So we go with systems that measure the amount of ammonia, that measure the amount of dust in the different areas of the stable. We test the hay and the straw or contaminants and pathogens. And so we have black on white, hard evidence of where the problems lie, and then we can provide solutions. And there again, I mean, these can be simple solutions like opening a little vent somewhere in the stable, or it could be changing the bedding to, as we said, dust-free wood shavings that allow to maintain really the lowest level of contaminants possible in the horse's direct environment.
And do you think there are a lot of horses out there who are actually suffering from respiratory problems that their owners aren't aware of because they're in a dusty, stable environment?
It's very widespread and it's underestimated. So
yes,
I know this for a fact because we do see a lot of horses where the problems have been ongoing for, you know, several years. And the owners were not aware this was going on. And we know it's been going on for several years because when we do the samples, we sample the lower airways, we can see that there's chronic inflammation. And that's really different from, you know, an acute event that would have happened in the near future. Chronic inflammation changes irreversibly the quality of the lung tissue and the immune response of the respiratory system. So if you expose a horse, even a human, to there's long-term exposure to dust, your respiratory mucosa is going to have to face harmful contaminants and harmful dust, and it's going to react. It's not going to stay nice and quiet. It's going to trigger an inflammation process to protect itself. And, you know, chronic inflammation comes with consequences like coughing or impaired breathing. And those are things that, when they happen, just show that it's already a little bit late.
So it's really important for us to go on trying to raise owners' awareness of this as a serious threat to their horses' health and well-being.
I think so, because you're in a good position to... you know, to educate the owners. You've got, you're in direct contact with them. And I think it's important to educate people. We've seen during the COVID lockdowns, people have been looking out for information, and we've had more solicitations for education, both for owners and for vets. And it's been a really great time to check a little bit the temperature of, you know, what was going on in real life, in the field, in the stables, and what people know, what they don't know, and raise the awareness on really very simple measures that can be taken to help the horse. So I think accompanying horse owners, you know, to give them some facts on what is the horse's respiratory system, how does it work, why is it important, how can respiratory disease affect your horse, and what are the measures that you can take. As a vet, of course, my work is to deal with sick horses, but I think that as important, the work is also to prevent diseases from happening. And we usually say that we're health specialists. Well, we should be health specialists and not disease specialists. So we should be focusing some of our energy on helping the horses to stay healthy rather than come in and really treat diseased horses, because I think that that's already a sign that we're not doing enough for the horses. So it's education is very, very important. And because you're providing an essential solution to that puzzle, I think that it is a role for Bedmax to play.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. That has been absolutely fascinating. We've been very lucky to be talking to equine respiratory expert Dr. Emmanuel van Eyck Westergren today, and you can read more of her remarkable insights into the causes and prevention of equine respiratory disease in our blog section on the Bedmax website at bedmaxshavings.com.